Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Cooper, and welcome to this latest episode in our Rethink Energy podcast series. And today is a podcast of a difference, as we are not so much rethinking energy, but rethinking sailing. I'm very pleased to say that Ivar Ari and professional sailor Sonny Boyka have partnered up. Just like Ivar Ari, powered by the wind and the sun, Sonny will be taking part in some extremely challenging solo and team races over the coming months, and we will be following her story closely. A successful Olympic sailor for over 10 years, Sonny had the honor to represent Germany at the Tokyo Olympics, where she won a silver medal. But as if that was not challenging enough, Sonny has now embarked on a new career offshore sailing, and she is currently taking part with her team in the ocean race, spanning 32,000 nautical miles, four oceans, four continents, and nine international cities. At the time of recording this podcast, Sonny is on a stopover in Cape Town, and we're very pleased has made the time to join us today. We'll be talking to Sonny about her early career and inspirations, what drives her, her move into ocean racing, life on board, and Sonny's campaign, This Race is Female, which, not surprisingly, is all about pushing boundaries. I hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget to check out other podcasts and content at rethink-energy.com. Sonny, a warm welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm really happy to be here in this podcast.
And you're joining us from Cape Town, I gather.
Exactly. I arrived in Cape Town last Sunday after having been on the ocean for 2.5 weeks because I sailed here from Cabo Verde in a little island in the Atlantic.
And I understand congratulations to you and the team are in order, winners of leg two of the ocean race and currently overall race leaders. That's pretty good for a new career in ocean racing.
Yeah, I was smart enough to join the best team. Obviously, I'm very new to this whole topic, but the team of Holcim PRB, the skipper, Kevin Escoffier, he's got his boat next to me in France. And so he asked me to join his team. And we've been putting a huge amount of work into the project. And at the moment, we're sitting in first, which makes us very happy. But we are also very aware that there are many legs to come and many challenges still to be faced. Today is my last day of holidays, and then next week we start to prepare for the next leg. There's always a lot to do. The next leg will be 5 weeks long, so you can imagine the amount of spares, the amount of food, the amount of organization you need to be able to survive without external resources for 5 weeks. That's a lot. It's a lot of responsibility for every team member. Yeah, so that's why we have a lot of work ahead of us next week.
I can imagine. Well, I say I can imagine. I probably can't imagine. And we will be talking in a lot more detail about the race and life on board a little later on in the podcast. But to begin with, just to go back a little bit. So Olympic silver medalist in Tokyo, an incredible achievement in and of itself, and no doubt the result of an incredible amount of hard work. And after this highlight, you decide to change your career and start a new chapter in offshore racing. And as we've just been talking about, join the very prestigious ocean race as the first German woman. If we go back a little bit, to where it all began, can you tell us a bit about what got you into sailing in the first place? What were those kind of early inspirations and motivations that attracted you to sailing? And then obviously then going on to pursue a career in ocean racing.
Yeah, so I grew up by the sea in a little village in the north of Germany, and I was always attracted by the water. And my family, they are all sailors. Even my grandparents, they still used to sail over the Atlantic until 15 years ago. My parents met each other during a sailing competition, so the sport was always in the genes of my family. So I picked it up, got pretty ambitious though in it, and had the dream as a small child to represent Germany at the Olympic Games one day. But in my heart was always for offshore sailing, because in offshore sailing, it is far away from the coast. You're on the boat for a few nights, for many hours. You can't hide from nature. You're really exposed to nature's elements, and this kick, this intensity always fascinated me. So that's why after winning the Olympic silver medal in Tokyo, I decided to switch discipline and to involve myself more into this very, intense field of sailing and go a bit away from high performance sailing, more into the adventurous side, I'd call it, of our sport.
And what was that transition like? I mean, obviously, you know, an Olympic sailor is a pretty grueling discipline and no doubt involves a huge amount of training as well. But, you know, similarly then ocean sailing, no doubt equally demanding, but in different ways, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's not been easy, that's for sure. But I think no transition is easy, and I really like challenges. I like to learn new things, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning every day because the field of ocean racing, the field of offshore sailing, is completely new to me. Due to my Olympic career, I got a good feeling for the wind, a good feeling for wind shifts, for the water, for how a boat feels. But I need to learn everything new, from big weather systems, from how to navigate big yachts. It's a really new field, and I love it. I love it to learn every day. And special as well to this career is that most offshore sailing in the world is in France, because France got a really strong culture in offshore sailing. So I decided to base myself in France to be more exposed to options, to be more exposed to the best sailors in offshore sailing in the world. So on top of the sailing challenge, I am at the moment learning a new language. Which is, I sometimes say, even more of a challenge than my daily business, than the sailing itself.
And as we just mentioned at the start then, I mean, you won leg two overall race leaders. I mean, that's pretty incredible. I mean, how does that feel having, you know, relatively recently embarked on this new career? And that's an incredible start.
Yeah, it feels cool. Of course, it's always easier to win. it's a better feeling and a nicer feeling to win. But I think I got to pay attention that I'm still in the beginning of my career, and I'm very aware of the amount of hard work you got to put into something. So having won this leg now doesn't mean for me to lean back and to be proud of the success. There's a lot to learn for me ahead of me. And of course, I take every win, but I think, to be honest, out of losses, out of you always learn more. That's what I experienced from my Olympic career. So I'm pretty aware of, I'm not so interested in the result. I'm more interested into my learning process. More focused on that than at the result, to be very honest.
which is a good approach. And we're going to talk about the ocean race in a bit more detail. But just before we do, what was that like in Tokyo, winning that silver medal? That must have been pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, indeed it has. To understand how that felt, you have to know a bit about my history. So it was the third time my team partner that time and me, we tried to qualify for the Olympic Games. So we missed two trials. And then at the third trial, people already said, oh, you girls are crazy. Why are you trying it for a third time? You know, you're in the end of your 30s. You should go home, make kids and focus on life. We're like, no, we want to try it again because we are convinced that we can win a medal for this country. And then we had a hell of a week, which was, a sailing regatta is always a week long. We didn't start really well, but we kind of kept it together because we had a really good teamwork. We had a really good mindset. And I somehow think it's amazing when you realize that when you really believe into something, it can work out. I'd love that everyone could have the same feeling, the same experience, because it's such an uplifting spirit that I'm really glad having experienced that, so that my mindset, my resentlessness pushing towards a medal has paid back. Really, really just thankful for that. Yeah. And that's the feeling. I walked up there taking the medal. I looked at my coach, and because he had always believed in us, and it was just amazing.
Wow. And as we've just been talking about, you know, that you know, you wanted more, and that hunger to kind of push boundaries, you know, and achieve, led into the ocean race and where we are now. And as mentioned in the intro, it's an incredible race over 6 months, 32,000 nautical miles, four oceans, four continents, nine international cities. Well, you know, tell us a bit more, I mean, about the race itself. These are very long legs, as we talked about. Life on board must just be, yeah, kind of unique, challenging, stressful, rewarding in lots of different ways. Give us some insights into what that's like.
Yeah, so it's a human challenge and a sailing challenge at the same time, because you are with your teammates for, well, the longest leg is up to 5 weeks. 5 weeks, and there is no time off. You can't just, if there are problems, that's, and I think that's unique to sailing, when if there are problems, you can't just go home, reflect, talk with friends, and then come back. You are on your own, squeezed together with your teammates in this. These boats are big. You see them, they are 60 foot long. They're huge, but the space where we live is actually pretty mm-hmm. small. We share sleeping bags. We share one bucket to go to the toilet. You're really, really close to them. Everything inside the boat is wet. It's loud because these boats make a noise because they are foiling. Everything is moving and shaking all the time. And there's just no real off time. It's really hard to get sleep in. And oh, you can't stand upright. It's amazing. Like, can you? I'm 1.75 meters, and there's just one place outside on the in the cockpit where I can stand upright. So it is very and I forgot to mention, we don't have fresh food. So we don't have good food, we don't have a lot of sleep, so everything human needs to perform is not there. And it's really interesting what that does to your mind, and it's an amazing human challenge, and yeah, I just loved it.
That the way you're describing it was not set up for "I love it" at the end. That sounded for most people that would be kind of unimaginable for a few days, let alone weeks. So how many of you are there on the boat?
So we have four sailors and one onboard reporter. So the crew is pretty small. In other ocean races before, we were always 11 people on these on different boats, though they were a little bit bigger, a bit more comfortable. But in this edition, we are sailing on a boat type that is called Imoca. Mm-hmm. It is a boat that is usually used to sail single-handed around the world in the Vendée Globe. And this boat that I'm sailing on right now will take part in the Vendée Globe as well in 2 years. And so right now we have four sailors and one onboard reporter, so five people.
And as you mentioned, you're kind of, you know, with each other 24/7. What does a typical day look like, if there is such a thing as a typical day? Describe a day for me. I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, so we are organized in watches. So there's actually a pretty big routine, and you're always having the watches with the same people. So there's a kind of rhythm. What is funny is that we always keep the same time on board as well. Our time is the UTC time, the Greenwich time. So wherever we are, so sometimes it could be dark outside and it's obviously late nighttime where we are sailing, but our UTC watch says it's in the morning. So that's pretty funny. We are living in a kind of
right
small microsystem on these boats. And so I try to wake up before my watch. So I'm fully dressed and I have eaten something before I go on deck. Then I do my duties on watch, so which is trimming the sails, monitoring the wind, making sure, trying to spot where things could break, so to prevent accidents or to prevent failures in the equipment. And then before going to bed or before going to off watch, I'd try to make sure I dry my sailing gear so that I can have a peaceful rest ahead of me. Because yeah, in these 3 hours, no matter what time of the day it is, I'll try to sleep. Because usually, and that's the next thing, you have sail changes, you have maneuvers, and for all maneuvers, everyone, we have a all hands on deck call. So that means everyone's got to wake up, everyone's got to be on deck. So in these 3 hours of rest, you have to be available within 5 minutes to be on deck and to perform. So you're pretty lucky if that happens on your on watch, but if you're if it happens in your off watch, yeah, you got to be obviously on deck, and you cannot count on 3 hours of just your time. No, you're still available for the crew 24/7, basically.
And how do you go about preparing for something like that? The physical challenge, the mental challenge.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. I definitely think that as a human being in general, you never have the feeling that you're really prepared for something. That's the first thing I'd say. I think there's never a person who said, yeah, I got this fully under control. I think like an ocean race is a challenge and an adventure for everyone. But we tried to prepare a lot on the physical side, as these boats are very physical. They are racing extremely fast, so to say 60 kilometers per hour. And sometimes they are slamming into waves, which makes them stop to, I'd say, the half of the speed. So why am I saying this? You can imagine if a boat is this fast, but also that fast in braking, you need to have a quite good core strength, a quite good reaction time in general. And as well, sails are pretty heavy, and we have to lift the sails within the boat many times during the day. So you got to be pretty, yeah, especially the upper body, it's got to be pretty fit. And then the next thing mentally, well, you tell me. I think it's you need to be quite adventurous, quite happy to challenge to be challenged, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. To have an extreme love for the sport. And like, to be very honest, I can understand every person who says it's nothing for them. It's not for them. Because I can't explain anyone why I like or why I love this sport and this discipline. You think I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'm not. I'm just really in love with the sport of sailing. And what I also love is to face my own feelings, my own thoughts when it's getting tough. So that's kind of what I like. And you can imagine that in this sport, you're being really faced with the darkest side of your character.
Yes, I'm sure there must be just moments, you know, repeatedly that push you to your limits, and you still got to keep going and go beyond them and push those boundaries. I mean, in all, you know, in kind of the experiences you've had so far and all of those, are there some particularly standout moments when you just thought, oh my God, you know, how am I going to keep going? And of course, yeah, you know, you do.
Yeah, for sure. There are these moments every time, I'd say a few times per day, but it's very funny in offshore sailing. I talked with many people about it. You got these highs and these lows multiple times per day, and they come just straight after each other. It's right. Like, I'd say it's keeping a balance, and it's about not judging the hard moment too much, but as well, if it's very nice, you got to be aware of, okay, in probably 10 minutes, I'm going to hate all of this again. Well, this is life. You just got to be present in the moment. And then it's kind of, you kind of get from one thing to the other, and you end up in Cape Town as the first boat. Which is amazing.
And that's a whole roller coaster, you know, of emotions. And as you say, you're kind of experiencing them on a daily basis. I mean, are there things you do, kind of tips, tricks that you've learned just to kind of, I don't know, try and take things not too seriously, see the lighter side, and, you know, kind of laugh at it all?
Yeah, for sure. Laugh a little. I don't have an example for that right now. But for sure, you gotta, when you're tired, not take your thoughts too seriously, because it's amazing how your thoughts can change your character just because you're tired. And as well, it teaches you a lot to be tolerant with what your teammates say, because they might just also just face their own or be challenged at that moment. So leave them alone and don't judge every word they say. Or, well, what made me laugh a lot is that in the last leg is I learned a lot on how to live on these boats, because I had never been on a boat for 2 weeks, and all the trips, all the tips that the boys gave me. And there were some tips that were pretty new to me. Like, if you got wet socks, you dry them, you leave them on your body while you sleep. So you put your wet, smelly socks underneath your layers to dry them. I thought that was pushing the boundaries of my own my own feeling for hygiene a lot. But to be very honest, it helped. So that made me giggle a little bit when I lay down in my bunk bed underneath the sleeping bag and I put off my socks. They were completely wet, smelly, and put them underneath my shirt to dry them. Yeah, that made me giggle a lot because, yeah.
Resourcefulness. Okay. Yeah, so just changing topic a little bit and looking at the boats themselves. I mean, as I understand it, you're carrying specialist equipment on board to measure microplastic pollution, gather information about the impacts of climate change on the ocean. And as we've already kind of touched on already, you're learning to kind of scale back to a minimum with life on board. How important is that whole kind of conservation topic of natural resources and sustainability for you?
Very, because on the boat, I think everyone should do more sailing, because you're being taught in a very natural way to be conscious about what you're consuming. Because again, I can bring this example. There's one leg that is 5 weeks long. So you need to have everything on board for 5 weeks, and you can't just, you can't just spend more resources than what you have. So sailing always taught me already as a small child in a very natural way to be mindful about what we have on board. You don't want too much. You don't want too little. And if you're using something, can we still use it in a different way? So that's a factor that is a kind of a hobby of me, I would say, to be minimalistic, but as well to think of how I can reuse things. And on board itself, I mean, sailing is a sport that is very close to nature. So it's an aim of the sailors, of the organization, to bring a benefit to society and mostly to science. So we got a filter system on board that's running every day. It's filtering 250 liters of water. The water is being taken inboard, filtered, and these filters measure the amount of microplastic in the water. And again, these filters as well, they have a GPS location. We note down the time when we filtered the water. These data will be given to scientists, and they can make important assumptions about the spread of microplastic on the oceans with it. So, but to me, it's very important that we're not just racing around the world, that we are also using this, being so remote on the ocean can also benefit scientists in their researches.
Absolutely. And do you find that way, you know, obviously when you're on board and that kind of mindset, do you take that with you offshore as well, in between and just a kind of your day-to-day life?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the most easy example, and I've been doing it since I'm a child, since I grew up on sailboats, is I don't use a lot of water when I'm in the shower. Like, I was always told, well, we don't have a lot of water in the boat, so when you're putting the shampoo in your hair, the shower is off. And I just later learned that none of my friends did it, because the water on land is just always available.
Right.
So there are all these small things that I hadn't realized that I'm doing differently due to sail, or knowing that resources on a boat are not infinite.
Absolutely. And another topic that I know is important to you, as well as all of us at BYVA-RE, is gender equity and inclusion. And as we're celebrating International Women's Day under the motto of Embrace Equity, can you tell me a bit more about your own views on this and your campaign, This Race is Female?
Yeah, I'm a woman in a sport that is very, very male dominated. And I'm lucky that in my family, I got a really strong mother. I never really felt discriminated by my gender. So I started this sailing and thought that what I'm doing is just completely normal as a woman in this field. But then I realized it's not, because there are just so few women, and most of the women are not sailing because they feel weaker. They get comments, they don't want to be commented on, so they're not even choosing that sport. So I think it's a pity. And there are so many areas in life where we women, we would like to do things, but we're not doing it because we don't believe we're strong enough. We don't believe we can do it. We just don't have enough courage. We don't have... So This Race is Female is a campaign that wants to empower women to do things they thought they couldn't do before. Just exactly my example as well. I mean, I went to France, did offshore sailing, had literally no idea where to start. And now somehow I'm one of the only women in this very male-dominated field. I think we need more of that, because we need more role models to see that it's possible. I mean, if you think about a sailor, you mostly think about an older man with beard, but it can also be a woman with kids, with a family. I think in our mind we are so limited just because of the things we haven't seen before. So I'm really happy in what I'm doing, sailing as a relatively young woman, I'd say, to change. Yeah, to change what people have seen and hopefully empower other women to do things just because they've seen it's possible.
And do you find there's a positive reaction from the ocean racing community and your colleagues?
100%. Yeah, of course. I mean, there are always these that are leaving you comments, like, of course, but as well, I don't really care so much about it, which is probably also due to my Olympic success. You know, there's no sailor in the offshore community who's won a silver medal. So I'm like, well, you can tell me whatever you want to, but I know that I'm a good sailor. So I guess I'm a bit lucky in this, that I also have a bit more, well, a stronger foundation that I can be very confident. So I'm happy to use the strong foundation to help other women to have this mindset to just do what they want to do without. These comments are coming always, but you just got to be stronger in your own mind and really be aware of what you want to do. And I'm just leading by example. I'm not even trying hard. I'm just doing what I'm doing, and it's motivating many women. I'm receiving amazing feedback on social, and it pushes me to do even more of it.
Going back to the ocean race, so this is just the first step of your offshore sailing career. I mean, in terms of what comes next, if you know, given the next 6 months, if we can even think beyond that, but what are the kind of big goals that you've kind of setting yourself, and where do you see yourself going next?
Yeah, so my big dream, my big goal is doing the Vendée Globe in 2028. It's a race that is going leading one time around the world, and it's single-handed, which means that you're alone on the boat, and you're alone on the IMOCA class boats, which are the boats I'm sailing on at the moment in the ocean race. So basically me doing the ocean race, it's not a coincidence that I was really interested to join the team, because for me it's really important to earn experience on these IMOCA boats, which are foiling 60-footers kind of weapons on the water, I'd say. So it's a long way to go, and this is an extreme... You call this, or the Vendée Globe is said to be the hardest, the most difficult race in sailing, because again, It's one time around the world, nonstop, and you're alone. It's beyond words, that challenge. Luckily, I still have a few years to prepare.
Sunny, thank you so much for joining us. We are just coming up on time. I'd love to keep talking to you for another hour or so, but some fantastic insights, and wish you all the very best on the next leg of the ocean race. And yeah, hopefully on the winner's rostrum.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm sending you many, many regards to Munich, and I'm very happy to be partnering with BayWa r.e. now. This was our very first interview together, and I hope to do many more in the future.
That will be great. Look forward to that too. Thank you, Sunny. Take care. Well, that's all we have time for today. A huge thanks again to my guest, Sunny, and thank you all for listening. I hope to speak to you again soon, and please check out other content and podcasts at rethink-energy.com. Bye for now.